It's the 100th reel of Seawell Movies. The boys celebrate with an interesting variety of movies. On the pole, they start out with the Tom Cruise classic Days of Thunder. After burning some rubber, they head to the pit to check out the Jonah Hill remake of 21 Jump Street. On the straightaway to the checkered flag, the boys review the trailer for Johnny Depp and Tim Burton's reimagining of Dark Shadows. All this and movie news about Captain America's sequel, Hollywood's Need for Speed, and Johnny Five staying alive. It's the 100th reel of COL Movies. Hey, Korean Jesus.
The past.
You're telling me you built a time machine? Out of a DeLorean?
The present.
When does this happen in the movie?
Now. You're looking at now, sir. Everything that happens now is happening now.
The future.
Hi. Welcome to the future.
And I'm telling you, it's great here.
You are listening to COL Movies.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to a brand spanking new reel of COL Movies. My name is Jeff, and I would like to introduce my turbocharged co-hosts, Ray and Steve. How are you guys doing?
I'm good, although technically I'm only turbocharged when I'm running my when I have my CPAP on.
When you have your what?
CPAP on.
When he's asleep and he's got the mask thing on? Yeah.
Yeah, you know, because then I'm forced induction. I'm sorry, my car geek is coming out.
That's okay. This is a very appropriate episode for that to happen. So
it is.
I think Jeff is. Well, Jeff might be doing whippets. His nitrous.
What?
Nice.
Well, it's our 100th reel.
I know. I feel like we should be doing more to celebrate.
Yeah, and then we ended up having these movies.
Well, they're not horrible movies.
Yeah. Well, we'll get into that. Yeah. And we do have in a couple of weeks our anniversary episode, which I think we're going to do more of the anniversary than hundreds and such like that. Anniversary episode is 154 or 104. Is that right?
Something like that.
Yeah, 104.
Is,
2 years.
Anniversary is 105.
Oh, okay.
I think it might, because it was a leap year or something. I don't know. We somehow got an extra episode or something. But, 105 will be, well, actually, I think 105, we started sometime between May 10th and 17th. First episode was May 18th, 2010. So we'll be on our second anniversary. Episodes May, we're going to be doing May 17th, so a day before. Okay, never mind. And so we've got five more episodes before our second anniversary. But in the meantime, let's do our 100th.
You on the mark.
Captain America sequel officially dated.
Yes, it's officially official.
It's dated. So, it sounds like it's old.
It's dated. Yeah, it's like it's thinking exactly the same thing.
Has a date? I don't know what's a better way to say it. We have a date with it in the theater, apparently.
Oh.
April 4th, 2014.
Man, I hope it's a good movie. Let's see. Anyways.
Well, I like how that sort of gives them a lot of leeway. Not that I think that anything bad is possible with the Avengers movie, but I feel like they're sort of like hedging their bet there and saying, well, we'll give ourselves enough room that if the Avengers movie doesn't pan out as well as everybody thinks it is, we can do some wiggle room and react appropriately. So they're not like saying they're going right into production on the Captain America sequel. Now, am I crazy? Did Disney Studios have something to do with the first one?
Yeah, they own Marvel.
Oh, that's and right.
All of the Marvel, the Iron Man, Incredible Hulk, Iron Man 2, Thor, Captain America are all in-house done movies.
Since
Marvel was owned by Disney. Disney's in-house, so...
I forget. I always forget that they're part of the mouse now.
But, you know, the mouse has been pretty good with Marvel. They pretty much let them do their thing.
And I wouldn't be surprised if they've actually encouraged them to do more. In any case, ends up being quality. And, you know, a lot of stuff from Disney comes out that's good. I mean,
right. Well, if it ain't broken,
a lot of stuff. I didn't say everything. But yeah. Yes, exactly. So and I think they're of like minds. They're like, you know, Marvel knows their characters. They know exactly what they're doing. So let them do it, and we'll give them additional guidance and additional funds. You know? Mm-hmm. But they're taking a relatively hands-off approach. So I like that. And the idea here of it's really going to be, it feels like it's really going to be essentially an Avengers movie every 2 years.
Right.
Starting this year. So we got, this is an Avenger movie, 2 years down the line with Captain America. I don't think we're going to see another Avengers movie until probably 2016.
Well, we have Avengers, we have Thor, and a Thor sequel somewhere in there too, don't we?
Right, but I'm not counting Thor as an Avengers movie.
Right.
Because Captain America feels like this is basically, he's the character you're following along the lines of the Avengers. So I think that the Captain America the First Avenger, or the sequel, Captain America 2, will be essentially Avengers 1.5 or something like
that. So they're going to call it Captain America, you know, the original Avenger?
Well, let's still call it Captain America the First Avenger if they use that full line. But I still think that it's going to be, that's kind of the key of what will be an Avengers movie. Although mm-hmm. It seems really long, but I mean, based off of the scale of the Avengers, I think they need to take a lot of time for each movie anyways.
Yeah. As excited as I am for an Avengers movie, I'll have to admit I was never an Avengers comic book fan. So that includes all of the Avengers separately. I mean, I can't remember being a big Iron Man fan or Thor, you know, Captain America. So
I was a Justice League versus the Avengers and X-Men versus yeah.
Oh, I was always on the Marvel side of things, but I was always much more grounded in the mutants side of things. So
Avengers versus X-Men. I'm telling you, this thing's.
I want a Power Pack movie. It. That's what I want.
I'm reading the Avengers.
I want a Marvel Zombies movie. I want a Marvel Zombies movie.
That'd be cool. Interesting.
Yeah.
Avengers versus Zombies.
Yes. So.
Anyways.
I don't know. I can't say that I enjoyed Captain America, the first Avenger, pretty. I mean, it was an enjoyable movie. I liked it more than I thought I was going to. I liked it a lot more than Thor. So I'm much more excited about a Captain America sequel than I am a Thor sequel.
Well, I think they should do another Hulk movie. Kind of like this whole thing. They have the individual movies for these four stars: Iron Man, Hulk, Thor, Captain America, because they're essentially the main part of this team. It would be kind of nice to see a Hawkeye or Black Widow movie, but overall, if they just stick with those four, you're probably pretty good.
Yeah, I don't really see Hawkeye and Black Widow carrying their own film.
But they could be supplementals for the other four.
Yeah.
So, like, Black could be Hulk's handler or something like that.
Well, I mean, like, she was in Iron Man 2, right? So that works that way.
Be a good handling. And I like in the trailer for the Avengers, where she's approaching Bruce Banner and she's being all quiet, you know, and kind and patient and nice. Says, we need you to come in, you know, and she's basically, he's trying not to get him angry.
Right. Well, you don't want to, you know, upset the guy.
Yeah.
Lest you rip your arms off.
Yeah. Just wait until he turns big and green.
Well, it is possible.
I'm just laughing.
Let the Wookiee win, you know?
Yeah, exactly. So that's Avengers, Captain America. And I'm excited to see what they do for that. Anyways, yeah. Moving on. Hollywood feels the need for speed.
Yeah, I threw this on here simply because it seemed appropriate given what we're talking about today. So there seems to be a whole lot of gearheadedness going on in this episode. And I find it funny that they're going to attach themselves to this Need for Speed franchise. Yes, it's a very popular game franchise. But I have a feeling that there's really nothing unique about the Need for Speed franchise other than it's a fairly unrealistic racing series of games. So to me, it's like attaching this to a movie is sort of along the same lines of like attaching Battleship to the movie that's coming out. Like, okay, it has ships in it in the water and they made the, you know, ammunition look like the little pegs from the game. Like, so we're going to call it Battleship. Right. And try to attach it to the game that really has nothing to do with it. So I think that's about as much attachment as this needs. They just figure that they're shopping it around now to different studios. The actual game studio has hired the guy who developed Real Steel to sort of pitch the movie to different studios. And we're pretty sure that Universal's not going to be interested because they've already got Fast and Furious. So this would be sort of in competition with that franchise, so they see. But it is a franchise that you could very much run, if it's popular, run sequels and really have them be separate stories, because pretty much that's what the games are. The games really don't have much to do with each other than the fact that they have cars and you race.
True.
So I just found it interesting that they were sort of trying to attach themselves to another game, much like the Battleship thing that's coming up. So,
it's marketing.
And you guys know that there's a good chance I might make us watch it if it does come out.
And you know, strangely enough, I'd probably be interested in actually seeing it. So,
yeah, I mean, if they make it sort of as unrealistic as the games, it should be rather entertaining. You know. Make it even more unrealistic than the Fast and the Furious.
We'll have to see.
Yeah.
Next up, finally, Short Circuit remake to offer a more menacing Johnny Five. Johnny Dad. Five, not just alive. Johnny Five, kill you.
Yeah, Johnny Five, scary and alive, I guess. So we've talked briefly about this before. There's a remake in the works. It's not in production yet. So the guy who's working on this basically said he's tempted to go back and grab the original design, but he thinks it's too cute. He wants to be sort of closer to what a modern design actually is. So he goes, yeah, you gotta find it. Yeah, I don't know. He says I don't think they can go human. I think they still need to keep it somewhat more robotic. Keep some elements of the old one in there, like, you know, the tracks, the way that it moves around. I think, you know, there's got to be some commonality. He goes, you know, the original was cute, but no one was threatened by it. I don't think anybody was looking to be threatened by Johnny Five. I think the whole thing was that he was cute.
Purpose was just to be like a general drone. It wasn't supposed to be menacing to search and destroy.
They were military robots with giant lasers strapped on their backs. So they were meant to take down tanks and planes and generally do bad things. But, you know, for those not too familiar with what the original we're talking about, and he gets zapped by a bolt of lightning and seemingly destroyed, but obviously some sort of magic happens and he sort of becomes self-aware.
Is a strategic artificially intelligent nuclear transport.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, the purpose of the drone was to deliver a nuclear bomb.
Yep. So, it'd be interesting to see. And they also say that they're going to go younger with the human counterpart. So they're looking to go teenage, it seems, or younger. I'm hoping they don't go younger.
I hope not either. Although it sounds like it's going to be a kids movie. You know, not just that. Short Circuit was just kind of like adult comedy. Was it more of an adult comedy than it was a kids movie?
Yeah,
at least from my remembering. Maybe I'm misremembering. Yeah. Put it on the list.
Put it on the list?
Yeah, just put it on the list somewhere. I mean, you should watch it. Short Circuit.
Right.
Just put it on.
Short Circuit and Short Circuit 2. Maybe we should just watch Short Circuit 2 first.
Oh, I think you got to watch the first one.
Okay.
The second one was okay, but you got to watch the first one.
Well, we only saw Matrix Reloaded. We didn't see the Matrix.
Well, we weren't looking to be. I don't know. We weren't going for the. Like we did with Clash of the Titans, where we have to watch every possible iteration of it in a week. So.
Well, but so that's it. Is.
Yeah.
Moving on into that.
You're telling me that you built a time machine? Out of a DeLorean?
Days of Thunder.
Yes.
Directed by Tony Scott. IMDb listed as the top three: Tom Cruise, Nicole Kidman, and Robert Duvall. I can understand that, but you know, as I started actually continuing to watch the movie, I saw Randy Quaid, Cary Elwes, Michael Rooker, Fred Thompson, John C. Reilly. I did not see 21 Jump Street, Phil Lord, or Chris Miller. I do not believe.
Yeah, I don't know where that came from.
Yeah, that was a me thing.
I was going to ask you about that. I was like, wow, okay.
Yeah, I didn't see those guys. I saw those later in a different movie. Mm. But I was like, when I was looking at the list, I'm like, oh, dude. So this has a star-studded cast, I would say. But that's just me.
It does. And I do believe this was pre-Tom Nicole marriage.
I know. I was also like, wow, Tom and Nicole Kidman or Tom Cruise and Nicole Kidman are in a lot of movies when they were.
Let me put this thing though. Okay, like, all right. So this is at its heart is a NASCAR movie. Now, in a million years, now I'm a self-proclaimed car geek, racing fan.
Yes, you are.
But I hate NASCAR. I will tell you that I hate NASCAR with a passion. I live 4 miles away from a NASCAR track. And the only thing that I like about NASCAR is some of the fans. That's about it. I remember when this movie came out. I mean, I wasn't as much of a car geek as I am now when this movie came out. But I don't think I ever saw it. I didn't see this movie until around about 1995 when I was working at Circuit City. Because one of the things that this movie is known for is its sound. So when it came out on Laserdisc, and eventually when it came out on DVD, this movie was used for a lot of demos in the home theater room. Because the sound would be cranking.
Yeah.
Yes, this was like the surround sound demo. So I have seen parts of this movie many, many, many more times than I'd like to admit. Heard it going on in the background. There is the sound. It was actually nominated for an Academy Award for Best Sound, I believe, but it didn't win. Mm. So it was known for just being crazy, crazy loud, and the surround sound was one of the things that just like gets you into it because you can hear those cars racing around. So if you're gonna watch this, it's good to watch it on a really nice home theater system if you've got it. Mm-hmm. So, was this everybody's first viewing, second viewing, seen it before?
I definitely seen it before.
But definitely it's been seen forever.
It
before.
I mean, it's it had been forever, and I remembered why while watching it. It's not my favorite movie. I mean, I get it, but it's kind of an old story. I mean, the part of it that I like, and as far as it being an old story, is it is about, like, the new guy comes along, knocks out the old guy. The old guy then gets respect for him. You know, it's that same old kind of formulaic thing. And then another new guy comes in, you know, and it was just kind of a formula. But at the same time, I mean, and of course, everybody compared it then, and I still compare it to, you know, Top Gun and Cars, because it feels very much that that feeling.
Well, the whole production team was the Top Gun production team. So you have the same director, same producer. You got Tom Cruise in it. Tom Cruise even gets writing credit on this film. I don't know how much writing he did for it, but that was actually a shock. I never really noticed that until I watched it today, that he got, not screenplay, just said
story.
Written by, story. Yeah, story by Tom Cruise. I don't know. I thought that was pretty shocking. But this movie the problem with me with this movie is that it suffers from the era in which it was made. It very much seems rooted in the early 90s. Like, the music that they use, that sort of Top Gun-esque guitar. Yeah,
that's what it more is to me. I mean, when I say that, it's, you know, you've got the, you know, you in Top Gun, you've got the Kelly McGillis character. Mm-hmm. It's kind of this instructor, and it's keep constantly telling them that, you know, don't do this, don't do that. And then in this movie, you've got Nicole Kidman, who's the doctor, and saying, you know, you shouldn't do this, you shouldn't do that. Okay, blah. Then you've got the, you know, the same kind of music, that same kind of danger zone kind of music going on in the background when they're driving the cars. You know, and they're doing crazy things in the cars that they shouldn't be doing, because he's, you know, he's not the typical driver, just like he's not the typical pilot.
Right.
I mean, it's just it all just kind of seemed formulaic. Is it fun? Sure, it's fun. I mean, and I love a comment you had said on our page here, Fuzz, was something that totally went around my mind, is, you know, you summarize, you know, the entire Daytona 500 in a 5-minute run. You know, I'd like to watch that too. You know, I'm like, I don't need to see it for 5 hours of them going, you know, like, oh, great. Awesome. You know, if you summarize it into 5 minutes and showed it on SportsCenter, I'd be a happy man.
Right. Well, that's the one thing about, and it's sort of especially in this kind of racing, then that's why I really don't like NASCAR all that much, is really a lot of times the only excitement you really get in a NASCAR race is either if there's a crash, or the last sort of lap, the last 5 laps where there's sort of, you know, that back and forth cat and mouse to see who's going to get in first. If the guy's not leading by 100 laps, you know, that's when it gets exciting. And that's pretty much what every race you see in here, in the, like, sort of race montage that they do. You see, like, the beginning, a couple things in the middle, and then you see the end. So it's like every race is done in like 5 minutes.
Right.
So let's cut out the boring stuff. You know, I always like, they're always at the, you see the starting grid, and then they're like, we're 56 laps into this race at, you know, the Winston Cup. It's like, sweet. Yep. We're already halfway done with it. You know,
and the only thing that would have really, you know, and you can tell it's kind of dated, because, you know, you don't see any female drivers. You don't hear them mention anything like that either. You know, I think it would have been kind of cool to bring, you know, if they redid it today, like that, that third driver that comes in should be a female, you know.
Yeah, I do sort of wonder, though, if this movie was sort of the catalyst for the giant sort of leaps in popularity that NASCAR made, because I don't remember NASCAR being very popular until like the mid to late 90s, and then it started to sort of explode everywhere.
Well, Dale Earnhardt was in this. You know, yeah. You see Dale Earnhardt in it, so. And you see a lot of the drivers are real drivers. Right. So, you know, you actually humanize them a little bit.
Yeah, they actually shot part of the film at the actual 1990 Daytona 500. So you are seeing some actual racing in there. And that's another thing that I always seem to notice is that the sort of camera moves and the things that they did in this to sort of make it exciting, I've seen replicated in other movies, especially a movie that has stock car racing in it, like Cars. Like, there's some shots that are, like, direct copies of the shots in this movie. You know? Sort of the iconic, you know, looking back at the car as it's, like, scraping against the wall and, you know, staying, the camera staying completely still with the cars zooming as fast past it as they possibly can. So... I don't know. It's sort of an interesting thing, and it sort of, there's a movie coming out. I don't know if it's coming out this year or next year. Ron Howard is making a racing film, but it's a F1 racing, and it's based on a true story. And I'm really interested to see if that has the same sort of effect on Formula One racing here in the United States. That it this sort of movie had with NASCAR, because Formula One's a racing thing that's not very popular here in the States, although part of that is because there's not very many Formula One races here, right. Which is about to change. Jeff's about to get a Formula One track down there in Austin.
We just had ours. We just had our Formula One. Yep, the St. Pete Grand Prix.
Grand Prix.
Isn't there a... some sort of Formula One racing a few years back. I think it was Sylvester Stallone. Driven.
Yeah, but it had Sylvester Stallone in it.
Yeah, we should put that on the list.
I don't even think Sylvester Stallone would really fit into a Formula One car.
And yet they do.
Yeah, Formula One drivers are like jockeys. They're like these little tiny skinny... because you can't like add any weight to that car. It's kind of crazy.
If you're gonna put a Sylvester, come on! If you're gonna put a Sylvester Stallone racing movie, we need to put Death Race.
Okay,
there you go. I own that one, so yeah, we could do that.
Death Race 2000,
the original one, please.
Exactly.
With David Carradine.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Well, put it on the list.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't know what else to say about this movie. I mean, to me, it's always been an entertaining film. Mm-hmm. It sort of is entertaining by design. It like, it's pretty, like Steven said, it's very formulaic. You know, it hits, you know, it hits its little emotional things at like almost the right, you know, perfectly planned spots. You know, we're gonna set up these two guys to be rivals. And then they're going to be buddies, and then one of them's going to get in trouble, and the other one's going to have to come to his rescue. You know, those sort of cliches are all over this film. But you know what? Its target audience eats that crap up. Mm-hmm. So,
they're all about
I think
it.
They did a very good job at exploiting that.
Agreed. So what have we learned from Days of Thunder? You have learned you can never build a driver like you can build a race car. You can never. I said that right. See, if you're from California and you're not a Yankee, you're not really anything. Despite what it says in the NASCAR rule book, there is nothing stock about a stock car. The first thing you need to do to win the race is finish. Tires win a race. Drivers don't go to doctors or funerals. Control is illusion. And Robin is racing. And that is what we've learned from Days of Thunder. I've actually had the remote, the radio controlled version of the Superflow card when I was a kid.
Nice.
It just brings back memories. It's a good movie to boot. I think it's pretty decent. As you can see, not much to say about it. But yeah, definitely Jeff, worth the rental.
Jeff had a super flow when he was a kid.
It's one of those heavy flow days. if only every NASCAR race was 5 minutes long, they might be as enjoyable as this movie. Making NASCAR as exciting as only Jerry Bruckheimer and Tom Cruise can, it's definitely worth a rental. And again, I can't stress enough, if you have a good sound system or you have a way to watch this on a system with good sound, do it, because that's one of the things that this movie is known for.
Yep. Just ultimately, for me, it's just Top Gun and Cars. Never really cared for this movie, and it didn't do a whole lot for me this time around. And I watched it on a plane, even, so yeah. I do like the new kid becomes the old guy who gets owned by the new kid thing. Oh, you know, yeah, that, but again, that's kind of, you know, formulaic. It's kind of, you know, but at the same time, I don't mind that theme within the movie. So,
right.
Speaking of what's old is new again, on to the present.
When does this happen in the movie?
Now. You're looking at now, sir. Everything that happens now is happening now.
You know, I said we were going to do the cold light of day, but apparently it doesn't come out until like September. So yeah. I apologize. I'd lie to you all, so we did not. Instead, I had a hard time figuring out what to watch. So I just sighed and said, all right, let's go watch.
Well, I told you all that just because it wasn't my week to pick, because I would have picked something that you all would have shot me for.
Which would be 21 Jump Street?
No, it would have been Titanic 3D.
Yeah, then I wouldn't have anything in this conversation, because I just wouldn't have gone. But anyway, guys, we got 21 Jump Street. 85% fresh, 90% audience.
Yeah, well, a lot higher than I expected it to get.
Directed by Phil Agreed. Lord, Chris Miller, starring Jonah Hill, Channing Tatum, Ice Cube, and Dave Franco. It was so throwing me off when I was watching this movie, and Eric came up, and I'm like, dude, that totally looks like James Franco. But that can't be James Franco. Who the hell is that kid? So, ends up being his brother.
Brother, yeah.
But that was my little interesting thing. So, I watched half this movie, but I was there the whole time.
You only watched? Oh, because you were embarrassed or you were freaking out?
Yeah, I was pretty far down in my seat most of this movie. My fingers and my ears and me trying to do anything to cover up the sound that was playing from the screen, because I didn't even want to hear it. So
wow.
I've seen half this movie, but I've been there the whole time. It's my embarrassing moment thing. And
because
and
he needs just... cause he needs mood stabilizers. That's what he needs before he goes to watch these.
I don't get it. You'll have to explain it. I don't get it in this movie, Jeff.
You don't get embarrassing moments.
Give us an example of in this movie.
Yeah.
I don't remember because I didn't watch it.
But you had to have been freaked out by something.
Some of the things during the first, during the high school scenes. Because I know I was down pretty far on that.
So like when he's asking the girl out, were you freaking out?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Haven't we been over?
Yes, everyone. Jeff is special.
Yes.
So, Jeff's a little touched.
No, I just don't like embarrassing moments. I really don't like embarrassing moments. So that's why I saw half the movie, but was there the whole time.
I'm just curious, like, when you... Okay, so this is just watching somebody else and you're freaking out. What happens when you get embarrassed? Do you just, like, have a heart attack?
It's something like that. I just try to, like, leave the situation, do something else.
Is anybody else in your family that way?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
They kept yelling at me, Jeff, come back! Whenever they were watching something that had an embarrassing moment, and I'd try to run out of the room.
Interesting. All right.
I would literally be watching a movie with my family in the living room, and then an embarrassing moment, I go, ah! And I go running to my room and hide under the pillow.
Okay, well, I watched the whole thing. Paid attention to it the whole time.
I had to pay attention to when I could take my fingers out of my ears.
Wow. So my thing was, okay, I was really not up for seeing this movie. Like, I resisted seeing it until the last possible minute. Like, I wouldn't be able to see it in time. but I did go, and I will say that I entered the theater in sort of a bad mood.
We just wanted to see this movie, did we?
We talked about none of us really wanting to see it. No. What it got me, though, when I started to lighten up was when they started to make fun of themselves. When they said there was a line where he talks about, like, rehashing. Oh, just, you know, it's like people rehashing old ideas and not coming up with their own creative things.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, that was like a direct jab at themselves. So when they did that, I was kind of like, okay, well, at least they admit that, you know. And that sounds like
Shakespeare.
The angry black captain.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, they kept doing things like that.
It's a stereotype. That's what you're here for.
Right. So when they started to do that, I was starting to lighten up. And then what really sort of made me come around, though, was when they went back to high school, and I had no idea that the whole sort of switcheroo thing was going to happen. So when they get back to high school and the guy who was the popular guy is now, like, not so cool anymore because it's all cool to do all the geek things that, you know, Jonah Hill used to get made fun of for doing, and it's like they're all making fun of him because he's not, like, eco-conscious.
Right.
So that whole little reversal there, I wasn't expecting, so I was kind of, like, okay with that. Because I totally did a Jonah Hill. I'm like, wow, maybe if I had to go back to high school, maybe I would be popular too. Because I was not popular in high school. You know? So I think there was a little bit of that in there, kind of like, yeah, you know, that's, I kind of enjoyed that whole sort of turnaround. And then there were parts that just made me laugh. The part where they were on drugs and trying to talk to the gym teacher and his eyebrows turned into his mustache. I was cracking up. I was literally cracking up.
See, I actually watched that part.
Yeah. So... what about you, Steven?
I'm just going to say that I did, you know, through the first, like, 15, 20 minutes of the movie, I just really wanted to walk out.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just because, like, I felt like immediately right off the bat it was just kind of making fun of law enforcement. Sorry. Mm-hmm. And I know I have to suspend belief and chuckle and ha ha. Yeah, and, you know, and some of that stuff is funny because, you know, we all, you know, believe me, even in my academy classes, we even had some people that we called Dangle and Gomer and, you know, all kind of, you know, whatever. You know, you had those people.
Right.
But at the same time, I was just like, right. You're going to reward these guys who screwed something up. I mean, like, that wouldn't happen. You know, if they're like, we're right out of academy and we screwed this all up, what they're going to say is, have a nice life. You know, they're not going to reward them by putting them in an undercover operation in high school.
Right.
You know, and then thing with the captain being like, you know, don't screw them, don't give them drugs, don't give them, you know, that kind of stuff. And then they throw a party.
Where they have drugs and they all go home.
Right. You know, like, just some of that stuff is just like, okay, this just makes it all look stupid. And not to mention, again, I'm a purist. I loved 21 Jump Street. Loved 21 Jump Street. This would have never happened on 21 Jump Street.
Well, I think that's kind of the point, though.
I know. But it's not 21 Jump Street. That's the thing that made me mad. It should have just been named something completely different. You know, yeah, did I love the cameos? The cameos were awesome. Mm-hmm. I will own that I did not expect Johnny Depp to be in the cameo at all.
That's
spoiler at all. So when he showed up in there, I was like, whoa. You know, I expected Holly Robinson. Uh-huh. I expected maybe Dustin Nguyen. Uh-huh. You know, I maybe expected Peter DeLuise, which, by the way, he looked hot.
Oh, I've always thought Peter DeLuise was hot.
Oh my god, but he looked super hot in this one as the biker dude. You know, but then when Johnny showed up, I was like, wow. Wow.
Yeah. Well, you know, it was
maybe
like
Richard Grieco.
You know, here's the confusing thing, because was Richard Grieco in it?
According to IMDb, he was.
I know, but I was trying to find out who he played, and it's really not.
He played the same character that he played, just like Donnie Depp did. But it doesn't say in IMDb, at least, because it was uncredited.
Right.
Gotcha. So I had to go back and look for. I mean, I thought you meant in the original. Yeah, but
no.
I didn't. I'll have to go back and look at it again.
Because they also said Holly Robinson was in it, and I don't remember seeing her either.
She was the one who gave him the car.
Oh, okay.
She was the officer that gave him the car. The one that said, you know, don't drive it like teenagers.
Gotcha.
That was Holly Robinson.
Okay. I don't know him well enough to know that was her, so.
Yeah, she was the only one that was in a uniform.
Okay. Because what's his name? Dustin, why do you say his last name? Nguyen. Because he was sort of in it. Because they were watching 21 Jump Street in the last scene on TV.
Right.
And like every time they would show the TV, his face was on the television.
Right.
So he was in it sort of.
Yeah. So he was kind of in it. So, I mean, but at the same time, I liked those little cameos. At least there was a nod to the actual source material.
Well, I like that they had a nod to, because, you know, when he said, you know, when they got reassigned to the unit, you know, 30, he's like
35 Jump Street.
Right.
I mean,
right.
Wait, 21
but, I mean,
Jump Street.
But he even said, you know, like they're redoing an old, you know, they're bringing something back that we used to have. So at least it was like sort of like, you know, to me, it was like a total sort of link to the original. Like at some point, the original one ended, which I don't know in the original show, did it like end or did it?
You know, I can't remember. So, I can't remember the later ones as much as I remember the earlier episodes.
Mm-hmm.
But I did think that was interesting, though, is that they decided to revive it with what they thought were cops who looked young and were useless in their current assignments.
Right.
Because that's what they said. They're like, y'all couldn't, you know, that's what Ice Cube said. It was basically, y'all couldn't handle it in your, you know, so you've been reassigned here to all of the cops. I'm like, whatever. You're not going to put your worst people in the high schools where they're infiltrating people's lives. Come on. You know, but whatever. Suspension of disbelief, Steven. Suspension of disbelief.
Right. Because if they were really good at what they did, it wouldn't be as funny.
Suspension of belief. Sorry. Suspension of belief, not disbelief.
Right. No.
But yeah. So, you know, but did I like some of it? Sure. You know. I thought it was I thought the whole thing about them, you know, having to be under his mom's house, in his mom's house, was kind of funny.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and him going up to the aunt or whoever it was.
Oh, and smacking her in the face.
I'm undercover.
The old lady tried to grab my junk.
Which apparently was a thing that happened to Johnny Depp's character in the actual original series.
Yeah, according to the trivia, yeah. So, I don't know. I enjoyed it.
Or, no, that was when in Donnie Brasco, that is.
Yeah. Did we lose Steven?
I don't know. Steven there? Hello?
I'm back. I'm.
Oh, okay.
I don't know what happened. I disappeared.
Okay. So, with that. But I'm back. Number two is already listed with the writer in. What's that?
Oh, yes. Yep, I already. Because at the end, how they said you're going to college.
Mm-hmm.
They must be already working on it because I did notice. I was at IMDb looking around, and they've already listed 21 Jump Street 2 with no date on it yet, but it has a writer listed. So it looks like they're already starting on the second version. Yep.
Michael Bacall.
Yep, yep. Anyways.
So, with that, what have we learned from 21 Jump Street? We have learned Korean Jesus ain't got time for your problems. He's busy dealing with Korean shit. Drugs are bad, but they can have their place in the life of a professional actor. You never won't know what you can't achieve before you don't achieve it. Artistic does not mean autistic. An extra vagina can be used as a coin purse. You can't run in tights or skinny jeans. Chickens are highly explosive, and everyone is a stranger till you give them a chance. That is what we've learned from 21 Jump Street. Yeah, as I said, I saw half this movie. I'm surprised that I actually kind of liked it. I really think this movie was well done overall, and I just can't stand embarrassing moments. If you like that kind of humor, you'll like it. If not, you'll like half the movie.
Yeah, and I mentioned this the other day on Facebook, but I almost hate myself for as much as I enjoyed this movie. Because I went into it expecting to hate it. And it sort of bitch slapped me. So I ended up sort of liking it, you know, because I like it rough. I thought it was funny. I think they did a good job on the whole twist with what it's like to go back into high school and see who's cool and not cool anymore and what's considered cool. Run out and see it. Maybe if you're on a date and you know your date well enough to know whether or not they'll sort of enjoy the movie.
Yeah. I really
like. I wouldn't take Steven to see it on a date.
No, I'd be like, what? No. I mean, it's not really Jeff, but I kind of do. I kind of want to smack Jeff for making me see this movie because I never would have gone to see it if I had to. However, there was some fun in it. I'll own that. But I did find it extremely difficult for me personally to suspend my belief of what I know about law enforcement for this movie. So I didn't think it was very 21 Jump Street, as I mentioned before. So I really just wish it had been something else, like High School Cops or something. I don't know. Might have been funnier, but it literally wasn't 21 Jump Street. Mm-hmm. But hey, whatever.
Mm-hmm. Well, here's the thing. If they had made this movie and not called it 21 Jump Street, don't you think they would have gotten totally jumped on for copying 21 Jump Street?
No, not if they didn't have... if they didn't have the, because I think the people these days don't even know what 21 Jump Street is. So yeah. They would have just been like, you know. But I think if they had, as long as they didn't have the cameos, they would have been fine. Gotcha. It would have been just another.
I think even with the cameos, it would have been just fine. I think if anything, this movie is a parody. So
yeah,
it's a parody on it, and it's just like, you know, Scary Movie had tons of references to Scream, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
But it's not called like Scream.
Right.
Besides the fact that it came out quite closer. So I think it would work just fine if they hadn't called it 21 Jump Street and the thing was just not at 21 Jump Street. It was something else. But 21 Jump Street was actually more of a marketing ploy for this to get people. Oh, I remember that show 21 Jump Street is about such and such, etc.
Well, I'd love to hear what Jonah Hill has to say about like why he decided to write it, because I think that would give us our answer.
Ooh, good point.
Yeah.
But speaking of Johnny Depp.
Hi, welcome to the future. And I'm telling you, it's great here.
Dark Shadows, releasing May 11th, 2012. Directed by Tim Burton, starring Johnny Depp, Michelle Pfeiffer, and Eva Green. In 1952, the Collins family sails from Liverpool, England to North America. The son, Barnabas, grows up to be a wealthy playboy in Collinsport, Maine, and is the master of Collinwood Manor. He breaks the heart of a witch, Angelique Duchard, who turns him into a vampire and buries him alive. In 1972... Barnabas is accidentally freed from his coffin and returns to find his once magnificent mansion in ruin. The manor is currently occupied by Barnabas's dysfunctional descendants, all of whom are hiding dark and horrifying secrets and needs his protection. Here's a question.
Mm-hmm.
That last part, mm-hmm. Did anybody get that from the trailer?
That they were in trouble?
That besides the fact being Barnabas's dysfunctional descendants, all are hiding dark and horrifying secrets and need his protection.
I never got the dark and horrifying secrets part. I did get a sort of little hint of maybe they were in financial difficulty.
Right.
But that was about it. I didn't get any other sort of secrets.
Mm-hmm.
From that.
Yeah, I guess they couldn't have given everything away in the trailer, I suppose, but I mean, I have a feeling like, you know, when they're talking about dark and horrifying, I don't know if they're talking like they killed people and stuff, but they're probably talking more like, you know, each of them has, you know, somebody's gambled this away. Somebody did this in a lottery ticket. Somebody, it's probably something stupid like that.
Right.
You know, like that or they're all some kind of creature. Yeah. It could be something like that. I just don't get it. I don't get what Hollywood is doing. Why are they taking classic stuff and turning them into slapstick comedies? I don't get it.
Yeah, this is another one that I really don't understand. Now, I have seen the original. I've seen a couple episodes here and there in my lifetime. Of the, you know, which ran from like the late 60s to the early 70s.
Yeah, the old version.
Yeah, yeah, the original. I mean, there are people in my family that were just like huge Dark Shadows freaks. Like, okay, we had a dog. My first dog that I remember, we had a dog named Barnabas.
Okay. I love it.
He was a St. Bernard. We called him Barney. But his registered AKC name was like Sergeant Barnabas Collins something something.
Champion.
Yeah. So my sisters were huge. I mean, my mom told me, you know, oh, your sisters used to rush home after school to watch Dark Shadows on TV, you know, because it was on in the afternoon. It wasn't like an evening drama. It was very much marketed towards young teenage girls. So when I first saw that this, you know, was what it turned out to be, I was just kind of like, I was just totally thinking of it from my sister's point of views, who were so in love with the original, that I'm like, I don't think they're going to like this at all. Like, this is totally not for them. And I'm not familiar enough with the source to know, like,
it seems like they're doing turning it into sort of like a Brady Bunch. You know, it's the same
monsters. I felt monsters or Addams Family.
Well, when I say Brady Bunch, I mean as far as when they remade the Brady Bunch movies. So it was like
true.
Family Out of Time. Like they were still like they were in the 60s, but everyone had changed. So Barnabas, you know, he comes back. Of course, they've made it the 70s when his show was on. And I think they did that on purpose. But, you know, so he's very much like a fish out of water, you know, grown out of time. And there are some of those jokes that I found funny in the trailer, you know, like we don't have a horse, we have a Chevy, you know, things like that.
Yeah.
So I could see where some of that might be entertaining. But I as far as like, I don't know who they're marketing this towards. Obviously, I don't know if anybody, again, like who they're marketing towards. They're even aware that there was a soap opera called Dark Shadows. You know, I know it's been remade before. It was in the 90s, maybe.
It was remade in the early 90s, in like 91 to 93 or so. It didn't last super long.
No.
In the 90s.
So, yeah, I don't know. I don't know where they're going for this.
I would agree with you on that one. I don't get who the target audience is, other than Johnny Depp fans and Tim Burton fans.
Right.
Those are going to be the people who are going to go see it. I think if you're someone who's a purist of Dark Shadows, you know, you're probably not going to want to run out and see this after you see the trailer.
Yet, for some reason, Ben from COL wants to see this movie. He's excited for the movie. And I'm like, really?
Well, we're going to see it, by the way. It falls perfectly into our Matrix, and it's the only one that is really coming out that's decent sounding that week. So,
and it is also our second anniversary episode.
Yeah, so we will be seeing it.
Wonderful.
Yeah, so get excited, everyone.
So basically just have a repeat of what we're having this week, right? Okay.
Yeah, let's talk about our excitement. Let's talk about how excited we're going to be.
All right. So our excitement is okay. So I admit I really don't know the original source for Dark Shadows, but from what I'm seeing here, I'm thinking it's going to be a complete disaster. If you want to see Johnny Depp, watch 21 Jump Street.
Even if he's only in it for 2 minutes.
Yeah.
Now this one kind of makes me sad. Yeah, this one sort of made me sad when I realized what was going on. I got excited because I saw, you know, Tim Burton, Johnny Depp. I'm like, ooh, cool. You know, they usually make some good stuff. And I'm almost guessing that that's exactly why the studio greenlit this, because it was those two. If they had anything to do with the pitch, you know, when right. Johnny Depp and Tim Burton come to you and say, hey, we want to make a movie, what's the chance that the studio is going to go, no, you know?
Yeah, right. Exactly.
So, but yeah, when I watched the trailer, I was just like, oh no, this is Dark Shadows. And I'm like, oh, they're making it a comedy. This is so sad. Like, I was just like really bummed out. So I'm really not, you know, I think about my family and how big of fans they were and how not interested they would be in seeing this. And I don't think I'm very interested in seeing it, but it sounds like I am going to see it.
Yay!
Yes.
Oh, by the way, Dark Shadows, the old versions are on Netflix streaming. So mm-hmm. if you want to catch any old versions, I'm trying to see if the revival is on disc. And the reunion is on disc. But if you do want to watch some of the old versions from the 60s, they are available on streaming. Just FYI.
Yeah. Alrighty.
Yeah. But as far as what I thought from watching the trailer, you know, I felt it was kind of in the same vein as 21 Jump Street. You know, like, I don't understand this whole trend in Hollywood of taking a classic kind of drama and making it a comedy. Like, I don't quite get it. And I think it felt like it was very much the Munsters, which, you know, because in the Munsters they have like the monster family and then they have like the normal people, and it felt very Munsters.
or, you know, even Adam's Family than Dark Shadows. And so I'm not quite sure what to think about it. You know, but I'm, you know, we're going to give it a shot.
So here's the thing I want to tell everybody. If you're going to run out to Netflix and start watching Dark Shadows, the first thing is that it was never planned to have any supernatural characters in it. The vampire character that Johnny Depp is playing, Barnabas Collins, doesn't actually show up in the original show for about a year. So don't be freaked out if you're trying to see what the character was like and you can't find him. You got to skip about a year ahead before you'll start seeing Mr. Collins. And it's and I guess Johnny Depp was the one who was obsessed with Barnabas and wanted to be him. So I'm wondering if most of the push is coming from Mr. Depp. He phoned up, you know, Mr. Burton and was like, hey, you're a fan of this, and I really want to be Barnabas Collins, so let's do this.
Yeah. And their 30-minute episodes, by the way, the old version are, they're 30-minute episodes, and there are 4 years of them. So there's some, you know, some 160 episodes or so. 40
episodes.
Of
each season.
A season. 40 episodes a season. So.
So it's one of the shorter
ones. Bam.
So, that's it. That's the end of episode 100. I'm sorry.
It's all your fault.
Next week.
It was so exciting.
It is, because I was the one who picked these movies. Although Days of Thunder and 21 Jump Street actually turned out pretty good. In any case, in the past, next week we'll be taking a look at It Happened One Night, the present, the cabin in the woods, and in the future, Ted. There's plenty of ways to contact us. Pop over to our website, colmovies.com. You can comment on our blog there or shoot us an email at colmovies@gmail.com. Voicemail at 361-265-8255, excuse me, 361-COL-TALK. Follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/COLmovies, Facebook, facebook.com/COLmovies, and iTunes. I had a problem with the feed, so I had to resubmit it. So there's a new one up there. So if you could please pop over to iTunes and actually click on the subscription link for COL Movies podcast feed is how it looks, and we have a slightly different icon there. Just go ahead and subscribe through there. Also, leave us a 5-star review on that one, because that will actually have the updated feed. So, yeah.
Yay.
So just to let you know of that. That has been updated, but please, please, please do subscribe. Any final thoughts?
Happy 100th episode, man.
Yeah.
Yay. Yay. That is 200 movies at least, plus.
Yeah, no.
Because we got a couple, which we had two and such. 200 movies. 100 movies we saw in the theater.
Well, you know, when I talk to people about doing this podcast, I'm like, you realize, I'm like, I see at least like 52 movies a year, you know, times, you know, two. It's like, holy crap, I see a lot of movies.
Looking back, it's a lot. Yes. But you need to have the new guys from COL pop on one night.
Oh, okay.
As a little crossover madness, or have at least maybe the one who wants to see
Ben wants to see Dark Shadows. He can join us for our second anniversary.
Tell him to join.
So what are you doing on Thursday, the such and such? Anyway. He's a law student, so we'll have to see about that. But in any case, with that for me, for Fuzz, for Steven. Take care, everyone.
Hasta la vista, baby.
I wish I knew how to quit you.
That'll do, kid.
That's the worst goodbye I've ever heard. And you stole it from a movie.
He's looking at you, kid.